What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 33 of the Tucson Pinball Podcast. Welcome to Wayne's World. So today we're going to talk about a big ugly lizard, and today that big ugly lizard is the Stern Pinball Machine. Not the Stern Pinball Company, not Gary Stern himself, but just the overall machine that is the licensed monster. So I have a Monday morning ritual, and it's as the kids are leaving for the day, I check on Facebook. And the first thing that I have set to my feed on Monday mornings is This Week in Pinball, TWIP. And if you don't check out TWIP every week, you should. Follow them on Facebook. It's probably the easiest way to get notifications. They also have a webpage. They work very hard to bring you all the details of what's going on in pinball. It's actually a great information source. So this morning, as they do every Monday morning, they do that's so I guess I should back up a little bit. So This Week in Pinball used to just be a Monday morning thing, and now they have a couple things over the course of the week, and they have a podcast as well where they talk about what goes on, you know, on Monday mornings typically, but also some of the other things that pop up throughout the week. But anyways, so the number one item on their This Week in Pinball thing was that Stern is rumored to have, and I don't even know how this came out. Stern supposedly has the Godzilla license. And if you follow Spooky Pinball at all, you know that Charlie posted not too long ago that they were in Vegas and they were getting, you know, they went to the licensing show at the Las Vegas, I don't know if it was a convention center or wherever it was, but they went to go get some licenses. And Charlie makes it no secret that Godzilla is his dream theme. This is what he wants to do. Like, this would be his holy grail, and if he could make it, that's his goal. So the news today that Stern has the Godzilla pinball license, that's pretty disappointing. You know, that's I'm kind of frustrated. I'm actually kind of mad about that too, because, you know, like, the first thing I thought of was like, okay, so they get the Godzilla license, they put out the game, and they're not going to do it right, because they don't do it right when they reveal stuff. Like, IGN's going to get it at CES, you know, 2020 or whatever. And, you know, but you know Charlie's on Facebook, because Spooky Pinball has a Facebook page, and he's the one that runs it. And you know Charlie's going to see it. Like, I was just picturing myself in his shoes, seeing my dream theme come up. And if he didn't want to design it, he was just like, oh, I'd love to have, you know, another Godzilla game, because there have been Godzilla game, well, maybe just one game. You know, that's happened in the past. But he's come out and he said, like, I want to do a Godzilla. And he's got, like, he says a phrase, and I can't even remember what it is. Like, it's a certain era that he wants to do, right? And so, like, can you just imagine a game coming out that you wanted to design, that somebody else had the license to, so you were prevented from designing it, and then, like, then it's a reality, and you're just like, well, you know, he would probably be excited to see a Godzilla game, but that would also be a massive bummer, you know? So anyway, since I saw it on This Week in Pinball, and they like doing countdown lists, and this is probably, there's a potential that this is not the most language-friendly show I've ever done. So anyways, I came up with a top five reasons why Stern Pinball taking the Godzilla license is a dick move. Ready? Reason number one. This is Charlie Emery's dream theme. He's openly public about it. Like, this is the worst secret in pinball. And, you know, he's probably kicking himself now, knowing that Stern has the license. But seriously, like, I don't want to spoil the rest of my list, but seriously, like, this is Charlie's freaking dream theme here. Like, really? All right, so reason number two. This is not a theme that's in Stern's wheelhouse. Seriously. Okay, so I had to do a little research, because there's always something Godzilla seeming to go on. You know, like, there's a Godzilla on IMDb. Like, there's a new Godzilla thing, like, unless it was the show, which was, you know, a show has a different frequency than a movie series does, or even a movie concept. But there's a Godzilla movie, like, every 3 years, it seems, you know? So I did a little research just to see, hey, what's in the news? And hey, guess what? There was a trailer for another Godzilla movie shown this last weekend at San Diego Comic-Con. But licenses don't happen overnight, you know, so this would have had to been negotiated. I wouldn't be shocked if Stern was also at this licensing expo, because I think they go to that. And had they secured it then, like, that would have been just really crap timing for Charlie. But, you know, there's a potential that this license has been in the bag for a year or 2 years. And Stern tends to run machines for 3 years, but they also have to have in their contract, you know, how long from the day the ink is signed till the license expires, you know? And so you look at the typical manufacturing cycle time for a pinball machine, and they say it's about a year to develop a game, and then you make it for 3 years, you know? So you could say, I would say maybe, because it's not always, you know, you don't start right away. Sometimes it's just sitting in the queue. So let's just pretend it's 5 years, you know? Like, how long ago did they get this license? You know, Spooky's been around for a while at this point. So yeah, I don't know. All right, let's see. Yeah, that was it. Comic-Con. I didn't even watch the trailer. Like, I don't want to see another Godzilla thing. I want to see a spooky Godzilla game. All right, so number three, Charlie and Bug, and Bug is Charlie's son, and they have nicknames, and it's not, you know, they'll use their real names. It's not like they're trying to keep their kids a secret or anything like that. But Charlie and Bug, they go to G-Fest every year, and Charlie says, I take 1 week off a year, and it's to go to this show with my son. And, you know, like, you can tell that's a really big deal for them, and it's their time to get away, and it's, you know, their time to geek out over something that they both really enjoy. And so I have a really strong feeling that this would have been like a father-son collaboration on this design, you know, And Charlie has a lot of hats on. He always has a hat on, but he wears a lot of hats at Spooky. And game designer is one of them. But, you know, Bug has kind of been, you know, more on the line. But he's in high school now. So he's like, he's, you know, I bet Charlie would have him sitting next to him and be like, all right, let's get this going. You know, what do we want to do in this game? Like, what do we want the layout to be like? And all that sort of stuff, you know, and that kind of, you know, that would turn the dagger even more, you know. I don't know. I think that's the one that pisses me off the most. So anyways, yeah, that should have been probably number, you know, Charlie would say that's number one. You know, he would say this is the kind of person he is. He would take backseat and he would say, yeah, this hurts because this is my dream theme, but I bet it hurts even more because it would have been something that he and his kid could have done, and it would have been a lasting legacy for them, you know? So that's, I don't know, that's the one that frustrates me the most, I think. All right, so number four is Stern had their shot already, and it wasn't called Stern at the time, but Gary was still at the helm when they were Sega. They put out Godzilla, and it was the one where the Wallflowers were singing that they could be heroes, and P. Diddy was covering Kashmir from Led Zeppelin, and, you know, like, yay, 90s stuff, you know. So anyways, and that's not a terrible game. It probably has the most gargantuan, like, plastic molded thing ever. Have you ever seen that thing? Have you ever seen how big the Godzilla head and arm is? It's like the creature topper from Creature from the Black Lagoon that, like, practically touches you. You know, like, that's how massive that thing was. And that it's not a bad game. It's multi-ball, like, you're always in multi-ball. If not, you're about to start multi-ball. And I didn't even know what the wizard mode was until I went to Indisc a couple of years ago. I think it was 2016. And Keith Elwin got to save New York, not once, but twice at the Indisc Bank where this thing was brutalized. And that was not an easy playing game. And I've played this game a fair amount of time because we had one for a long time at D&D. And then when Gary sold, he took two games with him. He took Godzilla, because that was his wife's favorite game. And then he took a game called Snow Derby, because that was his project game. And he was like, oh, this is what's going to keep me busy. And Gary knew this full and well, but work keeps him plenty busy. I don't think he's made much progress on that. Because Joust and Snow Derby, those were kind of progressing around the same time. And I think I've mentioned that Joust is my six-year project that I'm calling that complete. You know, when you just have to tweak switches and clean contacts, yeah, that's a restoration that's pretty much done. Because it's playable. There's a few features that are goofy, but yeah, I'm calling that done. So Gary, it's funny, two Garys. Gary from D&D Pinball, he's been working on this thing for a few years now. So Anyways, Yeah. Sega Godzilla. It's not a bad game. It was low run. I think it was about 500 units sold. Well, made, sold, whatever, same thing. But if you get a chance to find one and play one, do so. It's a fun game. It's very different. You'll have somebody screaming, gun it, gun it, gun it, go, 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 all the time. But, once you start getting into multi-balls, and you can stack them all. It's a fun game. It's a good game, but you know what? Stern, you had your shot. Give it to Spooky. All right, number five. So the big question is, who would make it at Stern Pinball? We know who would make it at Spooky, right? We kind of know that. That's a given. All right, so who would make it? Okay, so let's talk about Steve Ritchie. When I think Godzilla, I think giant green monster that moves kind of slow, but because he's huge, like he moves really fast to us. But still, he's like kind of a slow-moving giant lizard, right? And that does not scream Steve Ritchie to me, who is Mr. Speed and Flowball. So yeah, that just kind of doesn't work for me. Keith Elwin, he's kind of the wild card, right? So he's done Archer slash Iron Maiden. Everybody loves it. I really like that game. Nobody really knows if he has like kind of a signature layout thing, because everybody's got their kind of like their go-tos, or if they don't have one signature, they kind of have two or three things that they kind of cycle through. Everybody gets on Borg's case because he likes a good bash toy, and that's what I would think about this. John Borg, what are you gonna do? You throw a giant Godzilla bash toy in there? Potentially. Sometimes he's a good guy, sometimes he's the bad guy. But I don't know. Can we not have a Godzilla bash toy, really? Can we? I don't know. And then George Gomez. For that, I just know. He's the VP of engineering and stuff, and stuff, I'm sure, is a part of his term, engineering and stuff. But he's talked in the past. He's like, I like to do some game design when I can. I just don't have time, yada yada. And the Batman 66 came out. That really wasn't that far of a stretch from Dark Knight, and so if he had to take over for Deadpool, I'm sure he has tapped out all of his available time for designing games, because that would have to be kind of a side thing to his regular responsibilities, and that is the VP of engineering and stuff. So I just don't think Gomez would have the time. I don't dislike any of these people that I've listed. I don't dislike them at all. I enjoy lots of their layouts. I enjoy lots of their different games that they've made. I don't know. You announce a game designer, and you kind of have a vision already of one of their main kind of go-to aspects of a game, right? When I say Steve Ritchie, what do you think of? Well, when I think of Steve Ritchie, I think of the upper shot, upper flipper shot, because it's happened over and over and over again. High speed, Spider-Man. Star Wars probably should have had one. Star Trek, it's just there. It's prevalent. It's there. But he also has the two ramps, and typically you can backhand both of them, and yada yada. So anyways, and the other designers, they also have their kind of signature pieces on a game, and that's just kind of the way it is. And that's not a problem. I just don't think it would be a passion project for these guys. So that rounds out the very lengthy, very wordy top five. And this is kind of an impromptu podcast, and I just kind of want to throw it out there that I think this is kind of a dick move, and watches, just the way things would go is Stern puts out a Godzilla game, and it's like the best game ever, and that would suck even more. But on this one, I'm all for Team Spooky, Team Charlie. So, I'm going to work. I'm not going to go party, but if you can, party on.
Party on, Wayne!
Party on, Garth!
It's Wayne's World! Wayne's World!